Well, good morning, TGP. It's been 2 weeks. Obviously, we have a new addition to our family, and we're so grateful to all of you for your support and your love during the time that we've been sort of transitioning and trying to figure out what it looks like to have four kids in our house. It's been a good 2 weeks. I feel like we've gotten to have really good family time, and so I'm grateful to our elders for giving me 2 weeks off that I could just be with our family. I think that's really vital and helpful, because if you read, like, you know, 1 Timothy and Titus, like, it's literally in my job description to take care of my family. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that. Really want to say thank you to Alex and Heath and Mike and Josh and Kevin and Josh Eldridge and Justin Langford for either keeping up with devotions or preaching for us during the time, and Chris Gotro as well. I didn't have him written down, but yeah, Chris, thank you to all of those men for continuing the teaching ministries of our church while I've been out these 2 weeks. So super grateful for that. Again, I'm just so thankful that we have so many solid men who are able to rightly handle the word of truth. It's a good thing. It's a really healthy thing for our church, for us to have a number of men who can do that well. I am also grateful just for the way the Lord is working in so many of our lives during this pandemic. I want to continue in Colossians 2, and I'll do 3 tomorrow and 4 the next day. We'll finish up Colossians, and then I'll figure out where we're going to go from there. We're about to begin a new study as TGP in our church. We're going to do not a book study for the summer, but we're going to do a study of the church, what it means to be a church member, what the church is, what are the marks of a true church, how the Bible conceives of the new covenant people of God. So we're going to do all of that from this coming Sunday until the first week of August. So basically our summer study. We're calling it I Will Build My Church, and it's based on Jesus' words in Matthew 16, where he says, I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we're going to do that starting this week. So I'm really excited about that. Y'all be praying for me over those things as we look toward starting a new study on that. But let's dive into Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'll give a couple of quick thoughts. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed the appearance, an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So the major thing that I love about chapter 2 is verse 14. So I just read that again real quick. Actually verse 13 starts out a lot like Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and you who were dead in your trespasses. And then in verse 4, I think verse 4 there, God made alive together with him. So it's very similar. In fact, Colossians and Ephesians are very similar books. If you read and you compare their language, it's Paul uses much of the same language. But this is one thing that he doesn't use in Ephesians. He talks about that when the way that God forgave us of our trespasses, verse 13, he says in verse 14, is by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. And so every legal demand that was laid upon you, you failed to keep. So you failed to meet the rigorous demands of God's law, and therefore you have racked up a debt of sin to God for your entire life. And it says God canceled that record of debt. And then the next sentence in verse 14, the end of verse 14, says how? He says he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. So it wasn't just that God disregarded the debt that you owed him. It was that he punished it. Jesus paid for it. He nailed your debt to the cross. So every sin you've ever committed was nailed to the cross with Jesus. What good news. That's such good news that you no longer have a debt of sin against God, but he has completely, fully forgiven you by nailing it to the cross with Jesus. So praise God for that verse 14 there. He forgave your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against you. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. Quickly, you know, verse 3 of chapter 2 says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then if you compare that to verse 23, just flip over there, submitting to regulations of the law, after having been forgiven from your debt, because all you did when you were trying to keep the law, all you did was rack up this sin debt. So trying to go back to that, submitting to regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. He says that's the appearance of wisdom. But in chapter 2, verse 3, in Christ are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so there is this idea that Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection and the resurrection life that he imparts to his people, that is real wisdom and real knowledge. And trying to submit to regulations and make other people submit to regulations, that is an appearance of wisdom. So it looks wise and it looks like wisdom, but he says it's only the appearance of wisdom. And that's one of the reasons he says, don't let anyone take you captive by vain human traditions and empty philosophies. These things are devoid of the power of God, but the gospel is not. So place your faith in that and trust Christ and don't submit to a yoke of slavery. Just in verse 16, really quickly, you know, right after he talks about the canceling of our debt, all of this that comes after is a therefore. So therefore, because of how Christ has triumphed over every rule and authority, because of how God has forgiven your debt by nailing it to the cross so that he could cancel out the debt against you, because of all that, therefore, don't let anyone pass judgment on you. So no one is to stand as your judge in regard to matters of the law, like these festivals, food or drink, new moon or Sabbath. Those things are a shadow of what was to come. So, but the thing casting the shadow is Jesus. He's the substance. Those are the shadow. Jesus, they're pointing to him. The shadow points to the reality that there's something standing there. And Paul is saying the something that's standing there is Jesus. And he's casting that shadow of the law. So trust the substance, the true treasure of wisdom and knowledge, not the appearance of wisdom and knowledge. So much more that we could say, but that's all I want to say today. So I want to pray that we will trust that we will believe firmly this gospel of Jesus. A few resources really quickly. There is, I got the privilege of being part of a video series that's been posted to YouTube from this guy. He's a pastor named Andrew Donaldson out of Eastside Baptist Church in Cairo, Georgia. And he is friends with Drew Gardner, who is at First Baptist of Dry Prong. And so he invited him and Drew invited me. And so there's another IMB missionary who finished out the series, but I did parts 8 and 9. It's called What is the Gospel? I'll link it here. Those are fantastic videos, not because I'm doing some of them, but just these men and their ministries I'm so appreciative of. And they're clear and concise. And they're explaining, it's a 10-part series explaining what the gospel is. And so, you know, digging into this mystery of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in Christ. Like, go watch those videos. The Gettys have a song called The Perfect Wisdom of Our God. I'll link that. Again, it's a really good one. And then when I think about, you know, our record of debts canceled, The Lord is My Salvation. And that's, I think the Gettys may have written that one as well. But Shane and Shane sing a really good version of that one that we sang recently. So there's some resources. So let's dig into some prayer now. Father, I thank you so much for your mercies toward us, for your kindness that you've shown us in Jesus, for nailing the record of our debt to the cross with Christ, for punishing him for our sins, for allowing him to pay our debt to you. So that we can be forgiven and come out from under your wrath and be called your children. We're no longer children of wrath, but we're children of God. And God, what a privilege that is to be your people. I pray that you would protect your people this day, that you'd draw them to yourself, that you'd help them to love and serve and know you in various ways. God, that you'd minister your various grace to them this day, that you'd help them and cause them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him in all respects, as Heath talked about last week. And Lord, I just pray that this day would be a day of honoring you and glorifying your name. Please give patience to parents who are with their kids more today. Please give joy to those who are missing other people and just need to be around other people and can't be, Lord. Please give faith where there is fear. God, I just pray that all of the virtues that Christ brings to us would be born in our people and would give great evidence to the reality and the truthfulness of the gospel. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the day that you've given to us. I pray that we would take advantage of it and that your Spirit would use us this day to advance your kingdom. And Jesus, we ask that you'd build your church. We pray in your name. Amen. Love you guys.